Hey, let's take a moment and pray. I know there's a lot of people that are out. So it's hard nowadays to find time to get to church. But it's like I was talking to somebody yesterday. I don't know who I was talking to. Somebody. I said, you know, I used to work out a lot. And, you know, I was my job. I was a physical techniques instructor. And I had to be in shape. And I had to be ready to go. And so people would walk, hey, man, you're looking good. And I said, yeah, I spend about 2 hours in the gym every day. Well, I would do that if I had the time. I'm like, come on a second. That's just an excuse. You want to be here or you don't. You want to know about the Lord or you don't. You want to grow or you don't. And if you're not growing, what are you doing? You're stagnating. You know, I shared with Justin, there was a period in my life of 10 years where I never opened this book. What a waste of life. What a waste of time. Store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. What does that mean? Get to know the author of this book. The volume of the book is written of Jesus. And the more I know it, you know, even starting here as a pastor years ago, I'm not the same guy because you know why? I've been transformed by his word. I'm like, and I see it more and more clear. I see his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness more and more clearly every day. So, you know, I'm just going to say it. A day without his word is a day without spiritual food. You know, how many people go a day without eating? Well, I do every now and then if I'm fasting, but we don't go a day without eating. Physical food helps us for a little bit. Spiritual food helps us for eternity. But the last place the devil wants us to do is open this book. The last thing. And even as a pastor, I find myself, I'll read my Bible a little later. And then the next thing you know, I've been on TikTok for an hour. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. I could have been halfway through the book of Isaiah by now. And, you know, I tell people, you know, you're reading it. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. But the more you read it, the more your eyes start being open. You know, and the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to his word. He promises that. And in John 14, we're going to see where he says, I got to go. You can't go with me where I'm going right now. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I'm going to bring you to be with me later because I'm going right now to prepare a place for you, okay? And I'm going to come back and get you and bring you to where I'm at. So we need to get to know the author of this book. So let's go, and we're going to finish up today in John 13. I got an encouraging word too, Jennifer. How many people in here have had a relationship problem? How many people have not had a relationship problem? Raise your hand. Not had a relationship problem. Raise your hand. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. We've all had a relationship problem, right? We've all had a miscommunication is what I call it. All right? And what happens when we have a relationship problem? Well, I'm not talking to you anymore, Blaine. You know, you made me mad. You know, you disrespected me. You know, oh boy, you're high and mighty, aren't you, Chuck? You know, and I'm like, tell people, you can't disrespect me anymore. You know, because I know my lowly position. I know where it's at. I can't get any lower, but he has brought me up. So in law enforcement, I've been called everything in the book. You know, I've had every threat made to me in the book. When I get out of here, I'm going to come find you, and I'm going to kill. I was like, I'll give you my address. Call me when you get out, and I will give you my address to where you can come see me. I'll be waiting for you. But anyway, and I think we put Tom was telling me I got a threat the other day on email. We had put something on Charlie Kirk. We had put something on the Facebook page about Charlie Kirk. And Tom said, yeah, I'm watching you. We're going to come get you. Well, guess what? We got armed individuals in this congregation. Bring it. I'm not wanting it, but I'm like, we're ready. Okay? So we're not going to be passive sheep here. And we're not called to be passive sheep. You know, and as a shepherd of this church, I'll put myself in line first. I'm responsible for your safety. So, but anyway, going back to what we're talking about, relationship problem. How many of us had relationship problems? Well, I'm talking to my daughter the other day. She is 32. I don't even know how old my own daughter is. She's 32. She's my baby. And she opened up to me like she had never opened up to me. She said, Dad, I've been married 7 years, and I've been trying to get Tyler to talk to me. She's going to kill me if she's watching this, but y'all don't know. But she said, I've been trying to get Tyler to open up to me. He just won't open up to me. to the point I think he's having an affair on me. Okay, well, it's getting serious, right? So I said, well, look, can he trust you? Well, why wouldn't he be able to trust me? I said, well, do you ever tell what he tells you to anybody else? I might be good. I said, then he cannot trust you. I said, violate a man's trust one time and see what he'll open up to you again. So you do not, you violate a man's trust one time, he will never tell you anything about his intimate self again. And so she calls me yesterday or the day before, the day after. Dad, have you been praying for me? I said, baby, I'm always praying for you. What do you mean, have I been? I'm always praying for you. She says, Tyler came home last night, and we talked for 3 hours. And he poured out his heart to me because he woke up the night before crying in the bed. Now, what man wakes up crying in the bed unless something really is going on up here? I mean, I've done it before. You know, I told my testimony. I used to go to bed crying. I used to go to bed on my knees before the Lord crying like a baby for 6 months to the point I told the Lord, could I please just not cry for one day? Just one day. But God was doing a new work in me at that time. But anyway, they talked for 3 hours. And they communicated intimately. And we get this false definition of intimacy. We think is sexual. It has nothing to do with that. It's being able to share your most intimate, deepest weaknesses. Weaknesses, not just strengths. Strengths are easy to share. You know, oh yeah, I'm smart. I'm good looking. I'm whatever. But weaknesses, we don't want to share our weaknesses because somebody might not approve of it. Or worse yet, our closest friend and partner, husband, wife, might reject me. And that would just kill me. So answer prayers everywhere, right? We don't have because we don't ask. So I'm going to ask us right now just to pray to fill these seats. Not because of me, not because of anything we're doing, but because people need to hear the truth of the Word of God. And people would rather try and fail on their own. That's called religion. I'm going to try, and I'm going to, even if I fail, I'm going to try and fail on my own. I don't want this free gift over here. That's offensive to me that I don't have anything to do with my salvation. Instead of resting in His grace and resting in His finished work, we want to try and fail until we fall down flat on our face and we still get up and say, I still don't want Jesus. I would still rather try and fail and go to hell, by the way. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for the ones that are here, the ones that couldn't make it today, the ones that are dealing with sickness at home or kids or that are sick or whatever they're dealing with, Father, we just pray that you will place your hand upon them and heal them. Give them renewed strength of mind, renewed strength of body. We pray for the newborn baby, Jennifer's grandson. We pray for their family. We pray for the one baby to come that Morgan and Justin are having right now. We pray for all our little ones, Daxton, and everybody unnamed here, Christy and Oakley and their kids and the ones that are not here today. We pray for them that you will strengthen them, Lord. You will take out of their life what is preventing them from being here to hear your word and just minister to them, Lord, with your angels at this moment. And we pray that you will fill the seats in this house, in this little church here in Heber Valley. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to John 13. We're going to finish up, I promise. I promise. If I don't, you can start throwing, I don't know. Let's hold off on the eggs. Throw chocolate. Yeah, there you go. Y'all can throw chocolate at me. I like chocolate. Who was that gave me a bag of M&Ms? Was it you, Jennifer? Somebody gave me a big bag of M&Ms. Yeah, for Christmas. Was it you? I don't know who did it, but it took me about a month to get through those, but I got through them. I mean, it was the biggest bag I'd ever seen. So we're going to start in verse 31. And just to back up for a minute, they are at the Last Supper, and Jesus says, one of you are going to betray me. And he says, it's the one I dip my bread and I hand it to. And he handed it to Judas. And immediately, it says, immediately Satan entered Judas. What does that tell you about Judas? He was never a believer. Because Satan cannot enter a believer. Impossible. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not share himself with the devil. So there's this all this deliverance ministry that's going around. Oh, you need to be delivered. You need to be delivered. No, it's works. Sorry. You've already been delivered. You believe in Jesus Christ, you've been delivered. Can you be tempted? Absolutely. But you can't, don't blame that on, you know, don't blame that on the devil. That's your own doing. You know, we go after our own ways. You know, we go after our own thoughts. This is why we need to be renewed by the transformed by the renewing of the mind. What's the renewing of the mind? Dispelling the lies of religion that you've been told. Also, renewing the mind by finding out who is this God of this Bible. Oh, he's a good guy. He's not a bad guy. It's almost like we're afraid of him. Are you afraid of your own father? And I give that lightly because we had a Wednesday night Bible study. And we were talking about, what's the name of God? What's the name of God? And I'm like, whoa, I'm a pastor, and how would I answer that question? What's the name of God? If somebody came up to you and said, what's the name of God? What would you say? Well, you could go back to the Old Testament. We used to have these streamers up here, all the Old Testament names. I took them down because we're a New Testament church. He's not Jehovah. He's not the Holy One of Israel. He's not the Ancient of Days. These are all Old Testament titles for God. Would it amaze you that when Jesus comes on the scene, he never says, I need to pray to Yahweh, Jehovah God. What does he call God? The Father. That's personal. All the New Testament writers, not one of them, calls Jesus or God by an Old Testament name. Every letter Paul wrote, he says, I praise God for you. Grace and peace be to you from our Father in heaven. James, our Father in heaven. Every perfect gift and every wonderful gift comes down from our Father above. Now he is more personal. We're in the new covenant. His name is Father. Jesus said it himself when he says, we cry, Abba, Father. Hold your arms out like this. That's what it is. Opening up your arms and saying, Daddy, I see you now. You're my Father. You're my good Father. And Tom and I were discussing the dangers of this. When you talk to some people about their father, they don't have a good image of their father because they're looking at their earthly father. Thank God I have one of the most awesome fathers in the world. He showed me more about what God looked like. He was unbelievable as an earthly father to me. He never judged me. He only disciplined me in love. Well, Charles, I don't think that would be a good idea. And that would be about all the advice I got from him. Not, you're stupid. You're an idiot. You need to straighten up. There was no harshness in him. He was just loving kindness. And that's what attracts us to our Father. Is his grace and mercy and his loving kindness. But we're talking about, though, most people look at their earthly father. Maybe your earthly father was an alcoholic. Maybe your earthly father beat you. Maybe your earthly father sexually molested you. Or something happened that you've got some trauma and you've always deal with this trauma and something triggers it every now and then. Well, guess what? You're a new creation in Christ. That's gone. That can't touch you anymore. Don't live in the past. Live in what God thinks of you now. And so Jesus is saying, now is the Son of Man glorified. What does that mean? That means he's getting ready to go to the cross, and he's getting ready to go back to the Father, where he was in full glory. And I wanted to find something here on my phone I had put on here about glorifying. We'll get to that in just a minute. God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. This is him going to the cross. Isn't it amazing that God calls the hour of his death his glory. Most of us call the hour, we think of the hour of our death, we're scared of that. We're like, oh, I don't really want to die right now. I kind of like, you know, eating Jeff's pancakes. I kind of like enjoying being here with you guys. I don't really know. So we get kind of upset. But Jesus says, this is my glory, to die for you, to pay your sin debt, that if you had to pay, God have mercy on us. That's the good news of the gospel. So he's going to be glorified. And then he calls us little children. I love this. How personal is that? For Jesus to say, little children. This is what he's calling the disciples. I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. They don't have any idea what he's talking about at this point. You remember, we've got the benefit of the Bible. They didn't. We've got the benefit of, what do you call it, Monday morning quarterback? Yeah, hindsight 2020. Yeah, who's going to win the Super Bowl today? We don't know. But when we watch it tomorrow morning, we can say with 100% certainty, I know who's going to win the Super Bowl. They won yesterday. But so we have that hindsight, but they didn't know what's going on. And I wanted to elaborate on that for a minute. He says, where I am going, you cannot come. We need to wait upon the Lord, guys, because sometimes where God is taking you, you're not ready. And we don't want to force something on somebody they're not ready for. But God is wanting to take you into a deeper relationship with him. He's only waiting on you. And you really don't know what you're missing until you learn what that praying without ceasing is. And you learned it, that he's with me all the time. And you start understanding his great love for you. Everybody take a deep breath and just breathe out. Wow, I can just rest? Yeah. I can just rest in his finished work. I can be at peace. I don't have to worry about my eternal security. I don't have to worry about, let's get real, my finances. I don't have to worry about my somebody loving me, not loving me. It doesn't matter. You know, do we want the glory of man or do we want the glory of God? Are we living to please man or are we living to please God? Remember, some of these Jews believed Jesus was who he was. After he raised Lazarus from the dead, it said many of the Jews believed, but they did not profess because they were scared of the religious people. How many times have you like scared, oh, I'm going to get kicked out of the church? I can't say anything. And so you believe, but you don't profess. Well, Jesus says, you profess me before man, I'll profess you before my Father in heaven. Amen. And so I just wanted to comment on that for a minute. Sometimes God is saying, I'm going to take you somewhere, but you can't go right now because you're little children. Do you hear that word, little children? You need to grow up a little bit. And this made me go into the deep thinking mode. You ever gone into the deep thinking mode? Yeah, Morgan's like, I'm there all the time. It's like you go into the deep thinking mode and you start pondering. What's even life all about? Why am I even here? What does it even matter? You become like Solomon. You start writing Ecclesiastes, like vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Who cares? You work all your life, then you die. And you get this fatalist attitude. But I looked up the word. I queried this because I said, you know, I think I'm onto something here. Change versus growth. What comes first? Do you change and then you grow? Or does your growth produce change? Okay, I'm going to leave y'all with that. I don't know all the answers, okay? I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm saying it's something to think about. because God wants to do a new work in your life. He wants to grow you. And that growth is going to produce change. You're not going to be that same person you used to be. Okay, God's going to bring you into more alignment with His desires, and your desires are going to start being the same. And that's true unity with Christ. That's when you're walking step in step with Him, and everything just starts clicking. We call it the favor of God. You know, I tell the story all the time. You know, you're in a Walmart parking place, and you're looking around. You pull in, all of a sudden, the first parking place opens up, and you pull right in, and you go, favor of God. I mean, sometimes it happens, right? Sometimes you're like, wow, God must really be liking me today. Well, I got news for you. He's always really loving you. Always. It's just sometimes things line up. And sometimes in your life, things will line up, and you know this is where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. Sometimes you're going to ponder it, and it's going to be like Jesus says, well, hold on a second. I got something for you, but not right now. You know why? Because you can't take it. Is it that bad? No, it's that good. It's that good. You can't handle it right now. If you could see what I prepared for you, you wouldn't even be able to handle it right now. You would be on your face, jumping for joy, crying, doing whatever you do, and you can't handle it right now. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered the heart of man of what God has prepared for those who what? Love Him. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Amen. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. It's not like we were walking through the world one day and said, you know what? I think I'll just love God. We're going to talk about this here in a minute. No, 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 no. He came down, gave His Son, said, this is how much I love you. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, not just a select few, whosoever believe. And what's a belief? A belief is a knowing, a believing in something that you can't really see. Faith is evidence of things not seen. Hope and evidence of things not seen. So our faith, we believe by faith. He is who He says He is. And if you dive into this book, you're going to see there's no errors in this book. And the prophecy of Jesus, over 300 prophecies in Jesus Christ in the Old Testament that came true in the New Testament. The chances of that are one in infinity of happening. So how do we know about Him? We know about Him by His Word. Okay, His Word is true. His Word has been proven. Dive into it. Read the book. We got it out there. Josh McDowell, A Ready Defense, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. An atheist is set out to prove that the Bible was full of errors and was a bunch of fiction, and he became saved. His eyes were opened, and he said, wow, not only are there no contradictions, it says the whole thing, same thing throughout the whole book. God's love for you. It's a letter written in blood. God's love for you. And so he says, you can't go right now. He says, a new commandment I give you. Y'all want to go deep or y'all want to go shallow? Let's go deep. A new commandment I give you. That you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And he says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The old commandments are gone. Jesus is bringing in a new era. This is basically called the law of Christ. Okay, because remember, Jesus was born under the law. So some of the things, we misunderstand Him when we start reading in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John because we think that starts the new covenant. Matthew does not start the new covenant. The new covenant starts with the death and resurrection of Christ and His Holy Spirit poured out, His blood shed for you. Prior to that, Jesus was saying some very hard things to understand. Like if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Everybody raise your right hand. I don't see anybody cutting the right hand off. What's wrong with you people? You're not doing what Jesus said to do. How many people got two eyes? I don't see one of your eyes out. What's wrong with you people? I know you guys have lusted or something with your right eye. Why you still got it? Because Jesus came along and said, the Ten Commandments, you ain't seen nothing yet. The 613 commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, you ain't seen nothing yet. Pluck your right out, cut your right hand off. We'll see if you're righteous. He's upping the law. He's saying, you can't do it. You can't do it. There's a better way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. By faith in me. Now, his righteousness is accounted to us as righteousness. Isn't that amazing? When you understand what some of the stuff Jesus was saying was under the old law. Now he says, I'm a new commandment. This is a new commandment I give to you. Go to 1 Corinthians 9, 21. To those who are without the law, I became as one without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. This love one another, love each other as I have loved you. This is the law of Christ, so that I might gain those who are without the law. That's us. Go to Galatians 6:2. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Amen? Go to 1 John 2:8. It's right before Jude, Revelation. 1 John 2:8. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. 2 John 1:5. 2 John 1:5. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. By this, you will know, they will know you are my disciples. Because the world is hating on everybody, right? Let's go to first, while we're at it, let's go to 1 John 3:11. And 3:23. 3:11. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we are to love one another. Okay? And go to 3:23. And I want you to write this one down and make a note of this one, because this is really the only two commandments that we have under the new covenant. Are you ready for this? 1 John 3:23. These are really only the two commands we have in our new covenant. This is his commandment, that we believe. Wow. How simple, but yet how so far away from some people. That we believe. I didn't know that was a commandment. Yes, that's a commandment. That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another. Just as he commanded us. That's it. You can now rest. Believe in love. Replaced 613 Old Testament laws of thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. I saw a cute little thing on social media the other day. This guy's reading Leviticus, because that's where most of the law is. He's reading Leviticus, and he's like, thou shalt not, or you shall go to jail. Thou shalt not, or you shall go to jail. He's saying, he's using the you shall go to jail thing. And it's true. And so we have to understand that what God is trying to tell us now is, I have simplified everything for you because you couldn't do it. Why do we have churches out there that are still preaching, you can do it, Blaine. Just try a little harder, man. Try a little harder. I know you got drunk last night, but it's okay. Try a little harder. You can do it. Lynn, you too. You just need to up your prayer life. You know, you're sick, Lynn, because you don't have enough faith. That's heresy, guys. Absolute heresy. You're going to get sick. We get sick. Everybody gets sick. Okay? We recover. God gives us anew. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. God says rejoice in those. Rejoice. Because I'm bringing you through. So we can now rest, believe, and love. And so we'll finish up here. It says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I can go, you cannot follow me now. That's the second time he says that. But you will follow later. Now watch Peter. Peter is the man. Peter is the man. You know, you ain't going to mess with my Lord. You got to go through me to get to my Lord. And I love his heart because he's got the heart of a warrior. Amen. He's got the heart of a warrior. You want to mess with my Lord? You got to go through me first. Remember, Peter's the one that jumped up and lopped the dude's ear off when they came to seize him in the garden. And Jesus said, no. If I'd have wanted to do it that way, I could have called 10,000 normal angels, not even super duper angels. We'll have to do a study on angels sometime. It's just a normal angel. 186,000 in one night, Assyrians gone. You imagine waking up to a camp in Hebrew. They're all camped out in the valley. There's 186,000 of them, and they're all dead because God sent an angel through the camp. Whew, that would kind of get my attention. And so he says, so Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus is going to check him. You ever been checked? Jesus is going to check the poor guy. Will you? Really? Will you lay down your life for me? And we all like to think we've done that. We all like to think, and I remember a time I talked to my brother and I was going through an awakening. And God was just drawing me like hard every day, just drawing me. And I've shared this with some of you. I gave away everything I own. Gave away my golf clubs, my fishing poles. I got down to a mattress on the floor. When I met Maria, I said, before you marry me, come see how I live. I'm in this little one-bedroom apartment, dilapidated place, too. I mean, they hadn't changed the carpet in 50 years, owned by a survivor of the Holocaust, owned a Jewish lady. And boy, they didn't spend no money on that place either. The elevator, we even got stuck in the elevator one night, remember? I said, come see how I live. I got a mattress on the floor. Well, why do you live like this? Because this is where God wants me right now. It wasn't like I was broke. I had money, but I didn't want anything to affect what I was getting from the Lord. And I just took, I had a mattress on the floor, and I was about ready to throw that thing out the window. I said, okay, God, it's just me and you. Where are we going? I'll lay down my life for you. And he says, Charles, would you? And I thought I was totally surrendered. I went to see my brother up in Macon, and we had lunch. I said, Thomas, I'm totally surrendered. He looked at me kind of sideways and said, Charles, we really never totally surrender. I'm like, yeah, you're right. There's still some stuff I'm hanging on to. But it's okay. It's okay. God knows that. That's why he died for you. He's not requiring Peter to come die with him. He's just questioning. He said, really? He says, will you lay down your life? Jesus answered, said, truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Imagine what Peter thought about that statement. Because in his heart, he probably knew that was true. But in his might, he you know, his passion, his love of God, he said, I'm gonna stand in the gap. Nobody's going to touch you. And he still displays that when he pulls the sword. But after that, when all the thousands of the religious people, got to love those religious people, they're the ones that will stone you. They're the ones that will accuse you. They're the ones that will mock you, spit in your face, and slap you. I don't want anything to do with a religious person. Nothing. I'm with Jesus. I'm all about a sinner. Let's have compassion on sinners. Let's have grace on sinners, because I can relate to that. You can't really truly know God till you understand just how low you are. And I tell everybody, the more I read this book, the more I realize what I don't know. Okay, oh. Well, I'm doing good. I know the Bible, and I know the Scripture, and all of a sudden I see something. I'm like, I don't know anything. I don't know anything, but I know Him. I know Him, and that's all I need. Amen? So we're going to see next week, and as we go through the chapter, God's going to say, do not be troubled. Everybody say 365. Say 365. No fear. 365. No fear. That's how many times in the Bible God says, do not fear. 365 times, and it may be one or two more or less, but depending on what version of the Bible you're reading. Okay, because remember, it's a translation. So it's close, but it's not like perfect. But 365 is pretty much the number, and you can Google this. Go to your AI, Tanya. How many times does it say, do not fear? 365. One day, every morning you get up, go, do not fear, because the Lord is with me. Do not fear, because the Lord is guiding me. He's leading me to still waters, green pastures, good things. He's not leading, He's not looking for me to mess up, trip up, and bust me up. He's leading me into the eternal way of life, and we can have hope, and we can have peace right now in His name, in His person. I want you to know how much you're loved. And this is what God's saying here. I'm getting ready to go to that cross. I'm not just going to tell you. I'm not just going to tell you how much I love you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to lay down my life. No greater love than this, than someone who lays down his life for a brother. You guys have been in law enforcement or military. You know that. When you go out there, you put the uniform on, you strap on a M16 or a M4 or whatever, and you go out there and you're putting your life on the line. For who? Your brother's back home. Your brother's beside you. What you're saying is their life is greater than mine. I love them more. That's the selfless kind of love Jesus has. Amen? Amen.